such is that doggy in the window.
You guys, I really would love to see you come out to the Barkville Dog Rescue second annual Valentales Charity Gala, and that is Saturday, February 15th. Is it the day after Valentine's Day? Sure. Is it still Valentine's Day weekend? Yes, we're going to roll with that. So if you could please buy tickets and come out, there's a silent auction. We got a really great hair metal band, Mad Margaret. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're pretty jamming. And there's a cocktail reception and a dinner, and it's like a whole thing, and it should be great. And last year we raised $35,000. To, you know, fund all the stuff that we do. And we would really appreciate it if you guys, you can go to bit.ly/Barkville Charity Gala and you can get your tickets there. And if you're a business and you want to be a sponsor, there's all kinds of levels of sponsorship, so we could still use sponsors for the event. But please buy a ticket, come out. It'll be a fun little romantic time with, you know, dogs and, you know, dogs.
So. Romantic time with dogs? I'm there.
And that's it.
Al Pacino here. I was most recently featured in a motion picture by Martin Scorsese called The Irishman. Now, I played Jimmy Hoffa, you know, the mob boss. Well, he wasn't a mob boss. He was more of a union guy, you know. He ran the unions and he squared off a lot against the Kennedys, the Robert guy. This is me, and I use the anti-aging technology, but I'm a lot fitter than Robert De Niro. I'm not here to promote the movie. I'm here to talk about Radio Labyrinth producers. So the first Radio Labyrinth producer is Brett Perkins. That's his name, Brett Perkins. Thank you, Brett. The next one, Jason Chappell. Thank you, also Jason. And then as we move down the list, we got Mike Hall. Then Al McKeon is another guy. Then we got Sean Hall and another guy named Chad Shepard. Then Tim Slayton, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Melissa Knowles. Finally, a lady. Hooah. Brian Smith is a nice guy. Got a very nice lady friend. Jonathan Sutherland. Mike D. No idea what the D stands for. I don't know. Maybe they do. And Beth Van Elswick. There's another lady. Matt Carter. Eric Malmstrom. And Daniel Pitts. Keith Tate. And I guess that's it. Keith Tate. Thank you, Keith. Make sure that you go and watch The Irishman right now.
Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
Now, you listen here. He's not the Bazaar. He's a very naughty boy. Now, go away.
Listen, maybe you ought to get some donuts or something, huh?
Hey, Warren. You want to guess what's in the box?
Those aren't shoes, are they?
Come on, Barn, they're brownies.
Oh.
Gloria made them. She lives right down the street. She gets turned on to police officers.
Hey, what do you say we guys go down to the beach and shoot some clams?
How many of these things have you had?
Mushy, mushy.
Oh, Joe, are you aware that those brownies you brought in this morning were laced with hashish?
No kidding. I don't feel a thing.
I know.
Mushy, mushy.
Jerry Walsh got the Duke!
Walsh got the Duke?
He got him! He got the Duke!
No kidding?
This calls for a celebration.
I'll get some donuts.
We'll see you tomorrow night with Shields and Gigot, among other things. I'm Jim Lehrer. Thank you and good night.
Hey, joining us on the podcast this week is an actor that we grew up loving, Max Gale Jr. who is an Emmy-nominated actor, director, and writer from Detroit, Michigan, who has appeared in hundreds of television shows and movies, including Mad Men, Criminal Minds, NCIS, Days of Our Lives, Trapper John M.D., Matlock, Psych, Dexter, Longmire, and the Mr. T vehicle DC Cab. He's certainly best known for his role as Detective Stan Wojo Wojohowicz, spelled just like it sounds, on the classic sitcom Barney Miller, which can be seen on Antenna TV, and he can presently be seen on General Hospital, where he won a Daytime Emmy Award in 2019 for his role as Mike Corbin. Please welcome Max Gale Jr. Hi, thank you for agreeing to come on our show, man. We're all huge fans, man, going back in the day.
Well, we got here. Yeah. I'm looking forward to wherever we go.
All right. Jeff Leboff is the guy that reached out to you. I've known Jeff Leboff since 1979, and he and I used to do Barney Miller quotes in elementaries and high school, so I'm going to let him say hello.
Hello.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Hi. I'm a big, big Barney Miller fan. I remember my brother crying hysterically when Barney went off the air. He would have been maybe about 10 years old at the time. But Barney Miller, wow. It didn't get canceled. Danny Arnold decided to stop doing it. Is that the case?
Well, it was kind of a collective decision in a way. The way things were set up then, you know, people would make, when you did a pilot, you made a contract for 7 years, for 5 years, and then a 2-year extension. And so while if the show was a hit, you could negotiate for more. It never seemed to work out well when people would leave a show,
right.
And but then by then it was like, all bets are off. So if we were to have continued, and we were never in better than 10. We got one Emmy and we got a bunch of Peabody Awards, but we were always kind of in that 10, 11, 12 realm, as opposed to like the A-Team was their number one show for a while and stuff, you know. So it was a kind of borderline decision, and the way that it would have worked is they would have made a deal with Danny, and then Danny would need to go to Hal, and then they would start, and everybody's like, could, you know, negotiate for whatever you want, you know, and then they'd have to start working for the rest of the cast that wasn't really obligated in any kind of way. And so we had a meeting, and Danny really wanted to suss out, well, how do people feel about it? Is there an interest? Because he didn't want to get stuck making a deal to do the show, and then nobody else was in. And I think for the most part, we felt like we'd done it. You know, that was pretty much a run. It was
175 episodes. That's a nice chunk.
Right.
And that's pretty much what people did. You know, after that, as networks started to lose a lot of audience to cable, and NBC had Cheers, and then they had nothing else.
Right.
I wasn't paying all that much attention to this at the time, but this is a pretty straight synopsis of that time that I picked up later, you know. But they really wanted to keep Cheers on, and they paid a lot of money to keep it going. And that led to, you know, in a way, I don't know, paradoxically, as more and more audience went off to cable, and the broadcast had a smaller audience, but the salary started to really go up that much more.
Right.
To keep somebody that could get some kind of a big audience as everything was splitting up. So that's probably more on that than you wanted to hear. I apologize.
Well, you can only imagine how it's like today when you have, you know, 10, 20, 30 different options.
Right. The ratings that Barney Miller got back then, any network show would kill for today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a different world. It was, you know, there were three networks, and then PBS, sort of, and, you know, a certain amount of fringe stuff in every locale. But, yeah, it was a different you know, it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch it till it was in syndication. And little did I know when I was a kid in the 80s, watching it at my grandma's house in River Rouge, that you were from Groseille. I had no idea. That's where you grew up at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just read that. Now, there's a step, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you grow up on Gros Isle?
No. Gros Isle was like the height of opulence to my dad.
Yes, for downriver. Gros Isle was like the Gros Point of downriver.
Right. My dad worked at Great Lakes Steel. And I know a lot of the steel executives, they lived on Gros Isle. So, you know, we would drive we'd drive over the bridge and look at the houses and be like, ooh.
it had that, and then it had its own kind of, like, our high school league was the Huron Valley League. So we played farm schools.
Oh, really?
You know, and then we would play in basketball when it got to the districts and the regions. Our district was, we'd play River Rouge and Ecorse.
Yeah, I went to Ecorse High School.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
wow.
So I mean, I remember those games. We totally got our asses kicked.
You guys were like all white team versus an all black team.
Yeah. Which is kind of, you know, like how everything was there. Yeah, I remember after. After one of those games, and it was my sophomore year, and it was like I couldn't even make the freshman team my freshman year, so I really worked on my skills. And the next thing I knew, I got brought up to varsity. And I remember we played the game there, and then when we came out of the locker room, the lights were down and the music was on, and people were dancing. And this really beautiful young black girl comes over and says, "Would you like to dance?" And I said, yeah, and that was my most heightened romantic experience.
That was a big deal, though. Yeah. Like, what, that was like the 60s, right, in Detroit?
Yeah, 61 I graduated, so it was really like, you know, the 50s.
Oh, wow.
Coming out of the end of the 50s. So it was, you know, rock and roll was just starting, and it was, you know, and it was... That's just how far apart those experiences would be. And yet, you know, I don't know if you know, I ended up, you know, I've had two wives. The first one died way earlier than was what would have been our first choice. But both are black. So I don't know. Are you black or white or what are you?
She's a little red right now.
I'm not, but you know,
if it was her choice, you would.
I
be.
Was very much the minority at my school, very much the minority, and people usually think that I'm married to a black man just because of my tastes and whatnot. But no, it's just like growing up there. But no, I mean, yeah. I am black on the inside. Actually, I feel like...
Her heart.
Yeah. No, I was a pimp in 1973, and then something happened to me, and then the soul went into my body. And I was born.
Max, when you... What led you to be interested in history? And you know, I was reading your bio, and you were a world history teacher for a while, according to the bio. But I've always been interested in history too, and you know, ancient history, world history, all that stuff. What got you into that, and are you still into history?
Well, for me, it's just like being here, you know,
right?
trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, but. But I you know, that in particular, I was my senior year of college. I really didn't know what I was going to do. College had kept me out of Vietnam, and now I was looking at, like, I could get drafted or I could go to officer's candidate school and, you know, commit to an extra year, but I'd get to tell people to do things that I didn't want to do. And, you know, I knew I didn't want to go in that direction. I really didn't really understand why until in my 30s. I was up late talking with my mom, and she said something, and her dad had been a World War I psychological casualty. So he was a great old Irish grandfather, but he was a very damaged guy, and in ways that had impacted her. Anyhow, so somebody said, or I could go in the Foreign Service. I was an economics major. You could go in the Foreign Service. They were looking for econ majors. And somebody said, hey, there's a guy from Detroit or some suburb of Detroit over at the placement center interviewing people for a teaching job. And I went over and I met Hugh Riddleberger, who was looking for someone to teach what I learned later. Or I'm sure he told me, but anyway, ancient history and English to eighth grade boys in a school that ran from kindergarten all the way through high school.
Wow. Hey, that's like our school.
Yeah, you know, it was a private country day school outside of Detroit. And I would be teaching ancient history and English, and then I would be an assistant coach on the football team.
Wow.
And I was like, so I would get a deferment. And at that time, my mother was divorcing my dad, and I had this idea that maybe if I went back there, I would, you know, be able to do something. You know, I was the oldest of seven. It was a totally inane idea that I realized when I got back. I'm not changing that. But for many of us whose parents grew up, you know, through the Depression, or certainly, you know, World War II, and coming out of a time where people mainly got through things by smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that sort of child of alcoholism that's got to fix the world and stuff. So, there, you know, that's been a through line for me and many of my generation. But, yeah, so he hired me because I went to a Eastern college and I played sports. And that's what the dads who were sending their kids to school there wanted for their sons. So it didn't matter to him that I had no classes or I had no education as a teacher.
Oh.
I didn't know it, but, you know. But it was really kind of amazing because at that time was when the Leakeys were in the Olduvai Gorge in Africa, you know, finding out that our lineage, our ancestors, you know, went way back further than was thought at the time. So there was an aliveness to that happening, you know, and to how recent even the ancient history I was supposed to be teaching. You know, we kind of got lost in the weeds around that. And then I say, oh, no, I'm supposed to teach about Greece and Egypt and all of that. But it was always, you know, that's a little more recent. And so that, you know, has been a true line, not so much just the subject, but the story.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the story of humanity is a wonderful story.
Yes.
And there's so many different ones. So.
Yes. Yes. Well, they say that's his story.
Yeah. Or her story.
Or her story.
Hey, settle an argument between me and Jeff. The werewolf episode on Barney Miller. Was he really a werewolf? Because it terrified me as a child. Like, I couldn't sleep at night. It was very upsetting to me.
Wasn't he wonderful? Yeah. Ken Tiger. Yeah. He did that. And he had another, he came back and did another.
He was on like five or six times, I think.
Yeah. But there was another one that was this. I can't believe I can't remember this, but it was that, you know, similar stretch where you had to kind of buy it. And he, you know, he gave you that feeling that, you know, that was fun doing that stuff.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
Did you really eat a hash brownie on that episode? I know you did.
No, that would have been, you know, I've often thought, I wonder if I could have slipped some hash brownies in with the prop hash brownies, you know.
Given when that aired, how difficult was that for ABC to approve?
Well, I think, you know, we've been through a few times, kind of right off the bat with Danny and ABC Network around, you know, control. And there was a thing where they had Wojo got a crush on a hooker, you know, and that was a theme because I think it was a little bit of a theme in Danny's life. You know, all the characters were part of Danny and then part of the actor who was playing it. Mm-hmm. He had a great gift for finding that in the people. So he came up with great ways to use all of us. You know, I was different from the original idea of what was called Kaczynski in the first pilot they did, and another actor played it. And then it shifted in a way from someone who saw things really in terms of black and white to more somebody who thought maybe he should, but on a heart level, he was always, you know, taking in more. So I think that, what happened was that Danny said, well, if I can't do that, then I'm going to pull the show.
Right.
Which means he bet everything that he'd put years of his life into. So they backed off.
Right.
Wow.
And there was another time where there was a woman that was hired. She had a vital with the network that put her on our set to make sure that, you know, everything was on the up and up according to, you know, ABC standards. And they fired her because she's let something go by. And Danny called him up and said, we're not going to shoot until she's back on the set here.
Wow.
So there was, you know, there was that kind of thing that by that time, I'm sure it went through somebody, and I'm sure, you know, we didn't experience it, and we didn't even think about it as, oh, this is really going to be something.
Did you guys do any?
But I think it was.
Sorry, I didn't.
I think it was the most popular show. No, go ahead.
Did you guys do any ad-libbing? I know Danny Arnold wrote the scripts, and it would go to like 2 in the morning, and you guys would be trying to learn the lines.
Yeah. We kind of evolved a way of working that the last pages would come more out of what we'd been finding and developing, you know, and so it kind of fulfill on certain things that had been set up and stuff. So we often, you know, it just kind of got into that, which was a pretty cool way of working. Everybody's always riffing, so as we would rehearse, if something came up, you know, there was fun to play. If something was better, you know, we'd bet. But Danny always liked to take that last pass at it, you know. And sometimes there'd be something where we'd say, you know, now that we've kind of raised these issues here of potential insight and potential humor, you know, we've raised this kind of doesn't work, or maybe this, we think this would, you know. And Danny would, like, he'd see him take a long walk down to the empty end of the soundstage, you know. Sometimes before he even got there, he'd snap his fingers and raise his hand. He'd come back kind of giggling to himself. And he would have maybe one word or a short line or something that would just resolve all of those things. It would bring all of those things into it and be funny. So, but it wasn't like we were, you know, when we started a take, we had a pretty good idea. We were pretty set on where we were going to go and what we were going to say.
Right.
What we were looking for was the aliveness in it.
Right.
Rather than the rhythm and the joke and the gag, you know, where is that just aliveness of playing and letting it be funny?
I wanted to know how often did you guys make Godfather jokes to Abe
Vigoda? Oh, with Abe, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That was
it was before.
Over pretty quick, you know. Right. It was something.
Can you get me off the hook?
For Abe, who had mainly Abe had mainly done theater. You know, he hadn't done a lot of film, and then he gets cast in this, you know, kind of iconic role in an iconic film. And I think it influenced a lot of, you know, things, certainly about his approach to acting, which I would say is, let's say, just more aligned with, I don't want to oversimplify, but more what some people would think of, like, the method.
Yeah.
Or a way of engaging the unconscious self in the process rather than being so technical or executed.
How did his departure from Barney Miller to the Fish spinoff, how did that affect the show? I'm sure you've been asked this 100 times in the last, I don't know, 40 years, but I've always wondered that because I watched it and we all watched it, but it didn't last like Barney Miller did.
No, well, and I mean, I guess I didn't watch it on TV because I didn't have a TV at that time. But, you know, watching it happen, I mean, it was a deal that the network, I guess, is probably part of Danny's overall deal that the network's looking for stuff that'll have an audience, and Fish was a very popular character, so the network wanted to do a spinoff. And Abe, you know, I think a part of what he got also from working with Marlon Brando was a sense of, you know, go ahead and assert yourself. So he had apparently come back after the first half season we were on, and there was such a response to the character. And one of his things he asked for, it didn't happen, but he wanted them to change it to Barney and Fish.
Wow.
You know? But meanwhile, the network's saw that they had something there, so they put it together as a family show. You know, that was the way they went. You know, Barney Miller was originally supposed to be half at home.
Right.
And then half in the squad room. But for some reason, what Danny was creating in that improv and that kind of collaborative, ensemble thing that we ended up finding with each other, and that's where it went. So same with Fish. You know, I don't know if it was the audiences weren't looking for it or Danny wasn't really all that excited about it. You know, I don't know. It was a funny watching that. You know, and but I understood it. I mean, the time came for me. Then they would say, "Well, we wanted to do one with Lojo," and I wasn't a part of any of those conversations or anything. And the next thing I knew, I'm being asked to come in and read with some different actresses and saying, "Well, where's he going to go? What's going? What? I'm not a part of any of that." You know,
right.
And I think, you know, I love what I'm doing. I saw what happened with Fish. Kind of like, you know, I don't really want to sign another new 7-year contract. And I told Danny, and he says, "Okay, I'll give you a private letter. It says you don't have to do it if you don't want to." You know.
I know cops you know? loved Barney Miller. Did the show ever get you out of a speeding ticket or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think it helped me out in a number of ways a few times, you know. Although when I first got, you know, early on with the show, and I got pulled over and was driving an old used van I bought from a surfer. It was all purple and kind of, you know, I stressed out. I left, you know, anyway, a cop pulled me over and he's writing me up. I didn't have a driver's license.
Oh, no.
I guess, you know, I could identify myself. Maybe, I don't know. Do you watch TV? Because I'm in a TV show. He says, "No, I don't watch TV." I said, well, it's a cop show. He says, "Especially those." I said, okay. Well, you know, but you know, I mean, it's an interesting relationship to have with him, and I think, you know, for the most part, police have said it was more realistic than, you know, those were the days of like Starsky and Hutch,
right,
and Christy Love, and, you know, it was a pretty silly idea in a way. and that's most of what, you know, it's mostly not busting criminals and all.
Right.
You never saw that part of it off stage anyway. You know, you never saw Lojo actually put cuffs on somebody.
Right.
You just thought somehow they worked it out, you know, and,
I forget what year it was. Back, it might have been 1982. Jeff and I would have been in seventh grade. We lived near a university in Pennsylvania called Mansfield University, and every fall they'd have a comic come through. So the first live stand-up comedian I ever saw, and probably Jeff, was Steve Landisberg. We got there.
Uh-huh.
We got there at 3:30 and stayed there until the doors opened, and we were front row center. He was super nice to us, and we all got autographs and pictures. Do you have any memories of working with him? He was funny. And
oh yeah, I love Steve. You know, the first time Steve and I worked together was I had a part of in a sitcom that didn't last very long, but it was done by the same people that had done Mary Tyler Moore and stuff, you know, and Steve, it was called the Paul Sands Show, and Paul Sands played a guy in the symphony, and Steve was a violin player in the symphony. That was the context of the show. And I got hired to play a bully in the theater who Paul Sands shushed, you know, and then the bully, you know, it was an interesting experience, but Danny saw that. And he called me, you know, to read for this part of the pilot that hadn't been picked up, and he bought his partner out, and that actor was Charlie Cate, but he was directing a play in New York and wasn't available, and that's how all that worked out. So I knew Steve from there, and then he came on as a guest several times. You know, I mean, Steve is a great guy and very funny. He was a comedian's comedian, you know, so the comics that would come in and do the show, They would, you know, really, you know, in the makeup room, they'd be trying to get him to, you know, wax philosophical about comedy. He'd say, "Don't analyze it. Don't analyze it." That was his.
Max, before we wrap up the interview, of course, you never stopped acting even after Barney Miller went off the air. Memorable guest appearances in a lot of iconic shows from the 80s all the way to now. And now, are you still presently on General Hospital, where you won an Emmy last year? And how do you like that? Isn't that a daily grind, right?
No, it really isn't. It's not that daily, and it's not, you know, I mean, it's very fast. It's a whole other way of working. It's a realm that I kind of have rolled my eyes at, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Although you look individually, you see, wow, people are, you know, but it's a different thing. People have been on the show for a long time. They're telling the story a day at a time, and some of the storylines seem to be pretty wild, but this is about a guy who has Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Who's the father of the sort of lead of the show, you know? So it's been an interesting ride, you know, of exploring stuff, and the people are wonderful, and you know, just the opposite of the kind of image of soap opera, you know, divas and stuff. Quite the contrary, and so it's been a great experience. I would like to say that for me with Barney Miller. Also, that time in my first acting gig was up in San Francisco in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's. I was in the play One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and there was a native occupation of Alcatraz at the time, you know. And then, as I continued, I ended up doing the play in New York, and there was an occupation of Wounded Knee. There was a whole thing going on in the country, you know, along with the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement and the Tune In, Turn On, and Drop Out, or what, you know, all the various overlapping energy things that were going on, you know, and you know, changes within Christian churches and evangelism and stuff. There were other changes going on. There was a lot of change going on, but then that led me with Barney Miller. I also connected in with the American Indian movement and a whole lot of that, which for me gave me a lot of, you know, spiritual connection to something that I didn't get in the way I'd grown up and also, you know, on a kind of, I guess you'd say, intellectual understanding of how we use resources and how we are here, that kind of took my economics education to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great experience. It's always stayed alive in my life and is still, I think, critical to how, you know, our relationship to each other and all of life is like, you know, it's when it gets left out of the conversation, we get into all this deep doo-doo we're dealing with now. That's my feeling.
We're all, you know, connected to each other.
And then the other thing I want to say is that I actually did drop out for a time. I dropped out when I got married and we had a fit, and then we found out my wife had cancer. And I dropped out for about 5 years, pretty much totally, just to deal with that and being a single mom for a few years. And then I remarried and I went back and I did a show with the Frank Zappa's two oldest kids, who I love that family. And I, you know, but it was maybe too soon for me, or I was too, you know, whatever. I found myself, I had a new wife and a new baby and a new TV show, and I was not going to do anything where maybe I missed seeing what was going on with my wife the first time around. I'm not going to, you know, and that kind of kicked me out of the whole thing. And for a while I got much more involved in the social and environmental justice possibilities with the internet, you know, that was like going into the 90s.
Oh yeah.
And
Wild West.
That, you know, we can have, you know, this people can talk all around the world and everything. We didn't foresee it being kind of taken over by polarization and by, you know, we didn't see Google and Facebook and all these things quite emerging in this way and being where we are. But that was a great, you know, vision until I finally, you know, being ahead of your time is not really different from being wrong.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out how to, you know, I'd kind of been through with a terminal illness, and then all of that, I had to go to work, and my appetite came back, and I've been working on it along. So, you know, just to share that journey since we're talking.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for doing that.
I would love to hear actually all this come back about you guys and what you're up to and stuff. So could you each give me a little something out of this, or you'd like to share with me before we go, or do we have to cut it off?
No, right, we can go.
Hey there, radios. It's Dean from Mike TV. Hope you haven't been missing us too much, but Lisa and I are taking a little bit of a break over the month of January. But do not fear, we will return in February as Better Call Saul Season 5 returns February 23rd. Until then, make sure you check out our 2020 TV preview, and we'll see you next month.
Wow, so you guys just heard part one of our hour-long interview with actor Max Gale from Barney Miller, amongst many, many, many other things. And I can't wait for you guys to hear part two, because that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was really amazing.
He didn't settle our argument, though, whether Ken Tiger was a real werewolf or not.
No, he did not. He did not. But how interesting this guy is, man. How,
yeah.
Just, you know, more so than being Wojo on Barney Miller. He's an intelligent man. He knows a lot about the world. He's concerned about humanity and the planet. And I was floored, man. I really was. And again, you guys will hear the second part of that interview next week.
All right.
Yeah. But let's pivot now, because we have a guest in the studio. Actually, two guests. Yeah, we're gonna get ripped now, man. We're gonna get tear that shit up. Yeah, we're gonna get shit faced, because I need to come down off A, the coffee high, and B, the high of talking to like a guy that I freaking loved 100 years ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Damn. Anyway, all right. I'll stop. I'll get off cloud nine here in a few minutes. So we have a guest in the studio. His name is Craig. His name's Cray Cray McGee. His name is Clay Gridley, and he is the owner and proprietor and I guess head brewer of Six Bridges Brewery. Originally from Canton, Georgia, Cherokee County, he fell in love with craft beer while working at a ski resort in Vail, Colorado, moved back to the Atlanta area, and became a firefighter EMT for 9 years, and brewed beer out of his basement for years before deciding to open up his own joint. His father retired around the same time, and he also jumped on board, and they currently own and operate Georgia's first and only father-son brewery in Johns Creek. So just Johns Creek or all of Georgia?
We distribute through all of Georgia.
No, I mean the only father-son in all
of... Oh, yeah, in the entire state, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you could have gone beyond Johns Creek. He currently lives in Holly Springs, Georgia, with his beautiful wife, Amy Noel, and their pit rescue, Moon Pie. So please welcome to the show, Clay and Amy Noel.
Yay, welcome, hey, guys. Right. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome. What'd you think of that Max Gale interview?
It was fascinating, and I will tell you, I am not as interesting as that gentleman.
Oh, so, yeah.
That's why I bring alcohol.
Yeah, you make it interesting. You're going to make it interesting.
Well, I first met you, well, I didn't meet you, but Barkville, you guys let us have a Halloween thing there last year, and I could not get over, first of all, the establishment itself, how cool it is. There's so many regulars that come in there, and it's like when they come in, you feel like family at this place. And your staff, just like the sweetest people on earth.
Thank you.
It doesn't even make sense how nice these people are. And the beer is incredible. And you can bring your dog.
Absolutely.
Which is the best.
It changes the dynamic when dogs are allowed. And everybody relaxes just a little bit further, and... my wife actually makes dog treats from our spent grain with the, all the stuff that we have left over for making beer. So,
oh, I didn't know
did
that.
Did you bring any of those with you?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get some, because our dogs love treats.
When we do a big batch of beer, there's 2,000 pounds of grain there, and we ship it out to farmers, but then my wife said, hey, let me make some dog treats, and they love it.
That's such a cool idea.
And, well, dogs know exactly where they're at behind the bar. You'll see dogs loose, and they'll come circling around.
Get a little bit of that alcohol? Do they
no, like, no. Oh, okay. No booze.
And then you guys...
Amy Noel shakes her head. No.
And you guys don't like serve food, but you guys have different food trucks like all through the week pretty much that come out. So it's
Is that a rule that breweries can't sell food and do the beer?
Georgia now allows breweries to have a kitchen, and there's definitions where you can be a brewery with kitchen or a brew pub, and there's all kinds of
legalese. What are these stupid rules all about?
How much?
I can call them stupid. I know you don't want to trash, but right. I mean, the state has so much control over things that they shouldn't have control over. Well, it's money, of course. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Pay the right people, grease the right wheels, and how about some, I don't know, economic freedom for people.
Speaking of greasing the wheels, let's get this beer going.
Right. Oh, yeah, Jeff wants some beer. So, cool. So tell us again, where is your brewery? And
So we're located in Johns Creek.
Okay.
North Fulton. close to where Forsyth County and Gwinnett come together in Technology Park.
Okay.
So it's a large office park in Johns Creek. So it's off of Medlock Bridge Road, 141.
All right.
It's a place, like, honestly, you wouldn't expect to, I would say there's probably a lot of people that live in the suburbs in Alpharetta and Johns Creek. They don't realize there's this cool place right by them.
Yeah, yeah, to give the address and tell us what beer we're about to sample.
Right.
Absolutely. So we're going to go from light to dark. That's the way I recommend with people. It's called Shelby.
Shelby.
It's a golden ale. It's named after my golden retriever.
Okay.
Aww.
And this is a lawnmower beer.
Smells delicious.
It's easy drinking.
It does smell great.
No frills. If people drink a lot of domestic beer, I recommend something like this.
See, this is a Tim Andrews beer. It's light, it smells good, and it doesn't taste like Coors.
It's a golden ale. I like anything that says ale in the name. What does that mean exactly?
If it is an ale, then that means it's we use top fermenting yeast with it. It's fermented at a higher temperature. It typically ferments at a quicker rate as well. So, ales and lagers.
Good.
It's crisp. I love it. This is delicious.
Like that is really good.
This is a beer I could drink 15 of at a fish show.
That's what I like to hear.
You know what I mean? Like I could get a case of this, take it to a fish show, tailgate, and not get trashed.
They're playing at Piedmont Park.
I know. I already put in for the tickets.
Okay, cool.
Are you a fish fan?
I've seen Trey a few times.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to go to Are you going to go to 420 Fest and see Trey and Oysterhead?
To be determined.
To be determined.
TBD.
Yeah. Amy Noel, how do you feel about that?
She's not in music.
Oh, okay.
She is great, though. We were in the bathroom, and she was like, I don't want to be whatever, but what's Barney Miller? You must be a learned person.
And let me go back and say thank you for saying Gen Xers do have something to contribute.
Oh, hell yeah. We're never going to have government control, but fuck them.
Hey, we're not cancel culture. So
this day and age, it's either boomer or millennial.
Oh, yeah, they're fighting it out.
So, and I'm on the edge of it, and I feel like it's a lost generation.
Oh, yeah, we are. Like I said, we're never going to control anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just sit back and watch the world burn.
Well, we never cared. So.
The slacker. Well, they told us we were slackers, and that's what we do. We slack. You know?
Hey, you do you.
Yeah, you do
we're
you.
We're the you do you generation.
This is delicious ale.
Glad you like it.
Now, I'd asked you earlier, can you ship beer from Georgia to, say, New York State?
It is state to state, so you'd have to check with that. You know, Georgia recently allowed where you can have the wine club stuff. Yeah. You know, you can have it shipped to you. But there's probably a website out there that will show the individual states.
Now, it's not illegal for me to go buy a six pack and wrap it up tight and everything and make sure it doesn't jostle too much and ship it myself.
State to state, it varies. You know, that's one of the beautiful things about this country.
I don't care about the law. I'm going to fucking send some beers.
Just don't do it through USPS.
Why?
Do one of the private companies, because it's Uncle Sam you're messing with.
Well, you think the government, they're the slackest of all, so...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I've been to the post office. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that no one's really looking at anything.
Have you ever tried to file a complaint at a post office?
Oh, my God.
I figured, why bother?
Oh, my God.
Because they don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the post office is what it is.
Yeah.
Is your beer out? You guys can get it in Johns Creek, of course, but can you get it elsewhere in stores?
Yeah, absolutely. We are, you know, with the brewery being like the epicenter of it, we do use a distributor who distributes statewide, and it's Savannah Distributors. And if you don't see someplace, you can request it.
Right.
We're just going in Kroger's and Publix now and just getting out there. We just celebrated 1 year, so it takes a little bit of time to build a brand.
Right.
You
know?
And how's business?
It's good.
Good.
It is dry January right now. So
what does that mean?
People apparently...
New Year's resolution. And I'm not going to drink anymore.
And I mean, if you're like me, I drink consistently. I don't really binge drink, but the people that binge drink, you know, at New Year's or the holidays and everything...
Well, it's the carbs, too. Everybody's cut their carbs. Everybody's keto January 1st, so they'll all be back next month.
That beer has a good aftertaste. What's it called again?
Shelby.
Shelby, and it is a... light ale, right?
It's delicious.
What do we have now?
This is Medlock IPA. This is a New England style IPA, and we get a lot of people that say, "I don't normally like IPAs. They're bitter."
I am in that camp. I am not a fan of the IPA. I don't hate them.
Yeah,
but is it the hops?
It's very hoppy.
So this is hoppy, but it's not.
Ooh, it is hoppy.
It's not bitter. A New England style is going to be more citrus forward. It's going to be smooth and soft.
I love that smell, though.
Yeah.
My I used to stay, lots of hops. My cousin used to live, well, he still lives in Boone, but he lived up in the mountains of Boone, North Carolina, and he had a big hops tree growing outside of his guest room. So in the summer, you'd just lift the window and you'd, all right, cool. So I'm going to try this. It's hoppy,
but it's more citrusy.
Yeah. Citrus, smooth.
It's got more of a grapefruit taste to it.
And, you know.
Oh, yeah. They hit you good. Yeah. This is a good taste.
Glad you like it.
It's not bitter.
Mm-mm. It's not. It's low perceived bitterness, where you don't get the pine and resin that you would with like a West Coast IPA.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Well, this is delicious. I would drink this IPA.
That's glad you like it.
You gotta go in there. That's what I'm saying. Go in there. Take Izzy.
Get in there.
Take Izzy.
Izzy. Oh, just take Izzy up there. She'd be awesome. All right.
Oh my God, she'd lose her mind in there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You would have a good time, you and Izzy. That'd be a good dog every day. Or Rocky. Take Rocky in there.
Nah, I'll take Izzy because Izzy likes beer.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I don't think you serve dogs there. No,
I've knocked over a beer a time or two in my life. Yeah. And by the time I go get the paper towel or whatever to come back and clean it up, she
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Shelby was a booze hound.
A literal booze hound.
Yeah.
Now, what's the alcohol content?
This one is 6.2.
Is that the low level? I don't really know about that.
That's about average for IPAs these days.
And how do you guys determine, you know, like whenever you're brewing a new beer, is this you and your dad, are you both like on the same level when it comes to crafting the beers?
Well, my dad likes more of the more traditional styles. He is in his early 60s and, you know, he worked for Coors around 1980.
Coors.
The banquet beer.
The banquet beer.
Yeah. And so... He's gravitating more towards the craft scene. You know, if you go in his fridge, he still has some of the more mainstream craft beers, and you know, we're working on it.
I remember when Ice House first came out, I thought, well, this is a craft beer.
Oh, this is a migraine in a bottle.
Yes. Yeah, no shit. That and what was it, the Red Dog?
Oh,
this is mid-90s, early 90s. Yeah, and I guess the first one that go nationwide was Sam Adams.
I believe so.
Yeah, that guy. I make the nicest beer ever. Yeah. Try my beer. I remember one night in 1991, I drank an entire case of it by myself. Ooh. So I went to visit these friends in Pittsburgh, and they were all 21, and I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
So they
left. Trying to prove yourself.
Well, I was mad. They all went out and left me there. And at first, I went down to this little steelworker bar and used my student ID, and I drank some Iron Cities, and I was like, I'm gonna go drink some good beer. Hey, you know what else beer makes you do?
There's that.
All right. Enough asides.
You go in there like Ben Stiller and Zoolander in your little in your Stillwell outfit.
Yes. No, I don't have those kind of outfits anymore. This is a really good IPA. And like I said, I'm not a fan and I like
the you guys got like a, guys got a website?
Absolutely. SixBridgesBrewing.com. Same thing with all social media, Instagram, Facebook, that.
So how'd you meet At a Barkville event, right?
Well, I didn't meet him. I just went in there and lost my mind over the place.
Oh, okay. So you took one of your dogs.
I'm glad you liked it.
I was there volunteering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I had Boomer, my foster dog. I took him to it, which he's now adopted.
Okay, so. Good.
Yeah. Great. But there was a lot of dogs there. And a lot of them, I think we channeled some adoptions from that event. But we all just had such a great time. Because a lot of times, the dog rescue will host an event somewhere and... Ooh, sometimes it's pretty. Not that fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes the venue is crap.
I had fun at the football game we went to.
That was fun.
Yeah, because nobody came and worked for it.
Yeah, the next one was horrible.
You guys catered, I guess, worked at the concessions at a Georgia Tech game,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, and my father and I have season tickets there.
Oh, she really?
Told me that.
Oh, so yeah.
Thank you guys for doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I did the Pitt game, and I knew what would happen in at the Georgia games. I'm like, I can't be there.
Well, I'll just tell you that a lot of your season ticket holders were very pissed at the next game that I worked when they found out that their coupon only worked if they got a combo. It didn't work on every single item, and I got pretty much cursed out by two or three season ticket holders. I was like, one, I'm a volunteer. Two, there's nothing I can do about this. I mean, I don't
know. It's your fault, Steph. You control the coupons.
Yeah. So you told me to hold off. What were we doing?
This one's beautiful, though. We want to know what it is.
Oh, let me check it.
It's beautiful.
This is a sour beer. I always like to preface this with people, especially if you're not interested or not used to beers like this. So it's going to be tart, acidic. There's a lot of blueberry and guava in it.
What's this called?
It's called Sour Continuum.
Okay, I think I had this one when I was there.
Yeah.
And this was the other reason why I loved you guys, is because you had so many...
You like sour beers?
No, they just had different beers that I'd never tried before. I didn't even know I liked sour beer, but I like this beer.
When my wife and I lived in Midtown, we would walk over to Orpheus.
Yeah, they do a lot there.
And that's pretty much it. And I got spent on sour beers, but this one looks light enough to where I think I'm going to like it.
Yeah, it is light. Yeah. Blueberry, guava...
I smell the guava. Is that what I'm smelling? Not the blueberry so much?
Yeah.
Well, blueberry's going to be really earthy. It's going to add...
Tastes good.
You know, obviously the color comes from that. The guava, you get a lot of flavor from it too. But tart, acidic.
Yeah, but not right away.
Yeah. And it's an entry level sour, you know?
Yeah, it's not too sour.
This is like, and it's not an insult, it's a thing I like. It's like when I was a kid and my mom would buy Kool-Aid, I would make it with way less sugar than they tell you to make it.
Yeah.
So I'm not comparing your beer to Kool-Aid at all. But again, this is another beer that you'd think, oh, this is going to hit me in the mouth and it's going to blah, blah, blah. But no, it's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's
delicious taste.
I like it. And we actually...
You can speak.
you're sharing a microphone with your wife.
You can just shout.
Oh, so I like to call sours the gateway beer because I didn't actually drink beer until I met my husband.
Okay.
And he got me started off on sours. So for wives and girlfriends and non-beer drinkers, if you're at Six Bridges, ask for a sour. You can at least try something.
Get you going.
And then you can watch Barney Miller.
Yeah, we got some reruns showing every now and then.
Yeah, Antenna TV.
That's going to be your goal now. You're going to go home and let me just watch one episode of the show.
If you have a smart TV, just search Barney Miller. Just say it into the microphone.
No, I'm glad you said antenna because that's what we have. We do not do cable.
Oh, you're cable cutters. Do you have the streaming services?
No.
Wow. No. How could you live without not watching everything?
How do you live?
We have antenna TV on antenna.
Yeah, we have the antenna and a lot of reading online, honestly.
Yeah. No, you're readers.
Yeah. I'm a current events junkie, unfortunately. So
right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, me too, but that goes with my job. I have to pay attention constantly to that stuff. And then sometimes I get a little obsessive about it, and then I listen to a guy like Max Gale, and he comes correct. And I'm not kidding about that. That whole interview, and then toward the end, which you guys will hear next week, you'll hear the second part of the interview. I'll tell you about it next week. We're talking beer right now.
It was like a soliloquy at the end.
I don't want to call it that because that makes it sound like, oh, God, he rambled. But he
wasn't rambling.
No, okay, good. I've had some sips of beer.
He's a deep philosophical dude. And
exactly.
He's got a lot of sentient points.
I wish we could have shared this beer with him.
Now, let me tell you this. When Jeff told me we had Max Gale, I thought, okay, this is going to be one of those 15-minute interviews that we have done in the past with somebody famous.
Because it's the 45th anniversary of Barney
Miller. But even more than that, it's like he's famous. He doesn't care about us, but he liked us, and he liked talking to us, and he had so much to say, I didn't want to stop him from doing it. So that's why we're splitting it up. And then thank you guys for being patient.
And that's why Clay and his wife had to sit here for 45 minutes. Yeah.
You guys have the
patience of a saint.
Yes. And your beer is delicious.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
It is really good.
Very, very good. Now, what's the next level up sour? I don't know if you brought it or not, but...
No, we didn't. Let's see. We have some aging in totes right now and then some in barrels where it's going to be a different type of sour, where this is... soured with lactobacillus, which is a lot of people know it from milk.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be a clean tartness
sour
with it.
Milk beer.
Yeah, well, you know,
I know.
Yeah, like sour milk. In yogurt. Some people actually sour beer with yogurt.
Really?
But another variety has some different cultures in it, and you won't get that clean kind of lemon tartness with it. Where you'll get the common term that people describe these beers as barnyard, where it'll be leather, wet hay, tobacco. You mentioned Orpheus earlier. They do some stuff like that.
Tripe.
Disgusting. Use some shrimp beer.
Some good shit beer.
Were you making any of these beers at home before you opened the brewery?
The sour ones are tough to do at home.
Right.
I did make some, and it almost came out like vinegar, like paint thinner.
Right.
You just huff it.
Solvent-like.
When did you start brewing your own beer?
I would say probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So
my there was like a big movement back around then for home brew, and maybe did it just 90s. Become legal?
Dude, no, the 90s. The late 90s is when that broke. Because remember, we had Travis, our friend Travis made, we made hard cock double bock or something.
Yeah.
Like that. That's what we called it. It had chicken. It wasn't, sorry. Sorry, Amy Nolan.
But yeah, that was, it seems like maybe around that time, that's a yeah, lot
that
of
was
people
20
got
years
into,
ago.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And it's catching on like crazy, you know. A lot of the stuff's more accessible, the information on how to do it, because it's not rocket science, you know. I mean, you can make a science out of it just like everything, but, you know, laws are getting more favorable. A couple years ago, Georgia passed a law where we're allowed to sell pints and six packs to people.
That's good, because then people can come and sit there and have a pint.
Absolutely.
And then go out to the food truck and get something to eat.
Growler, absolutely. You guys do growlers?
We actually don't do growlers. We do a similar version called crowlers.
Crowlers?
Yeah. What's a growler?
Just basically, yeah, it's a growler in a can.
Oh, okay.
The thing with growlers is people have their own, and they'll bring it in. It might have mold or something.
Oh, yeah. Disgusting.
So, you know, we don't want to put our clean beer in something dirty. It's not a great representation. So we'll do a crowler where it's a clean can, and we do it right there.
I mean, your patio area is so nice.
Thank you.
Do you guys do live music there?
Occasionally, yeah. Yeah, we try to find original musicians. I'm sure in this industry you guys are familiar with all the music licensing and everything, mm-hmm. and you have to pay out the wazoo for live music. So I tell people, say, I want originals, okay? Mm-hmm. And so you weed out a lot of people doing that, but then a lot of them really appreciate that too. They want their stuff heard.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, this is where it's our next one, right?
This is a dark one.
Okay. Now this is I'm the least fan of a
I smell
dark
a little
beer.
I smell
okay.
a little coffee
the least
in
I
this
ever
one,
like.
Maybe.
Oh,
is
I'll
that
drink
my,
yours.
Nope.
You don't like stouts?
I love stouts.
I like stouts too.
And we should really have a palate cleanser for this one, going from a sour, something really tart, to something dark and rich.
But, so you planned this all out.
I didn't bring any pretzels with me or anything. But
I would say anybody should always get a flight when they go to your place.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you've never been there before, I would highly recommend that. We get a lot of people that come in and they'll say, give me one of everything. And we'll do it.
Give me a jelly donut, one of everything.
Bring me Volant with the eggs on top.
So this is the stout.
Yes, this is a milk stout called Silent Accord, and it is coconut and Madagascar vanilla beans.
Wow, vanilla beans.
Oh my God, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, there's vanilla in this?
It's delicious.
Vanilla beans, yeah. All right. We use a boat ton of toasted coconut and a half pound.
Holy cow, that smells delicious.
Oh. Glad you like. It's going to be a little sweet.
I don't care.
You will get the notes of coffee. Some people can get toffee with it, that roast with the dark malts.
But oh man,
if you like coconut, this is a good one.
This is awesome.
Thank you. Glad
delicious.
You like it.
So
really good.
Good.
This is so good, man. Your beers don't have that.
I knew you guys would love their beer.
It
I knew you would.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah.
You try some of these things like.
That piss taste. That
it's not piss.
It's like it's a piss taste. I'm sorry. It is.
Steph's the piss expert. She's opening Golden Shower Brewery in a couple of months.
Oh, I've heard about that.
What we do is we let the piss form in onto, ferment onto. No, I'm sorry. We're not trying. This is delicious beer. And I like it because it's not. It doesn't stay in your mouth and your throat. It tastes good and the flavor that lingers. You guys got to try this beer, dudes.
Yeah, Six Bridges Brewing.
And what's your highest alcohol content beer that you make?
We're allowed to go up to 14%,
right.
And we push it to that.
Would that be a Bock, or is that just something you can make with?
It can be many styles.
Okay.
We recently did a strong ale and a barley wine where we'll approach that, and then a Russian Imperial Stout, same thing.
What's a Russian Imperial Stout?
It's, you know, they're
delicious.
Great. They are higher alcohol content. You know, we try to make them pitch black in color. You know, it's just a different style. So, and it's really popular whenever we do it.
Awesome. Let me ask you this. I know because you guys don't do liquor there. We've had a couple of the canned cocktail companies on the show, Post Meridium and Tip Top. And I didn't know, do you guys offer those? Would you ever, are you allowed to offer those at your place?
We aren't. And that goes back to Tim's question about, you know, brewery, brew pub, and so on. We're only allowed to serve what we manufacture.
Gotcha.
So according to the state, we are a manufacturer. And like a brew pub is a restaurant. They're a restaurant that's allowed to make beer, and where we're a manufacturer who's allowed to sell some food, you know, and there's, you got to have a commercial kitchen and all that stuff. So
right. Pickled
yeah, we
eggs,
can't do
right?
cocktails. What's that?
Pickled eggs.
Pickled eggs.
Do you have that giant jar of beet juice eggs? Those are great. Don't laugh. Those are delicious.
No, my brother loves those.
It's great brain.
No, their place is very, you know, it's rich mahogany and wood smell in there. It's very, you know.
You were channeling the Ron Burgundy
exactly.
right there.
Exactly.
Mini leather belt.
You got
books.
Any events that are coming up? I know Barkfield did their thing there. You got something?
We've yeah. got a few events in the works where we're doing a dart league and then a ping pong tournament and then also a poker tournament coming up. So,
what kind of poker?
What's
Texas
that?
Hold'em?
Texas
yeah.
Hold'em.
Yep.
Don't do comedy, though. I'm telling you right now. You won't get anybody there.
You know, we've done comedy a few times.
Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you have somebody famous.
That's tough.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it is.
And the first time we did it, a young lady came out the gate strong with it. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the demographics of John's Creek. You know. Okay, so need I say more?
All right.
And this lady came out really strong. And even I was behind the bar serving drinks. I was like, damn, she just said that. I looked around and some of the ladies were like, I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah. No.
Was this like a poker league you're doing or is it like a tournament? Like a one-day tournament thing? Because Tim and I would maybe come out for that.
You know, we're going to do it on Sunday afternoons and right. Sunday evening, and we'll just see what kind of turnout we get.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah,
we'll come up there.
I don't mind playing and going out early.
Tim will be all in on the first hand, so he can just sit back and enjoy the beer.
I'm going to give you one of these Valentine's Gala things, if you all don't mind putting it on your bulletin board or something, if you
absolutely.
Have it, just
yeah.
because you guys were such a great supporter of ours before. We just loved you guys.
It was a great event.
I think Meredith Groom Hanst. I don't know if you know her, but she's the one who put us on to you.
Okay.
She's
yeah.
one of our fosters or whatever, and she yeah. just raved about you guys.
Okay.
And that's cool. awesome you guys foster dogs. Tell us about your pit.
Well, so this is a rescue, and she got it when she lived in Memphis, and she hasn't, she calls it her little shadow. This dog will not leave her. I guess it's some yeah. of the separation anxiety.
Yeah. Sure.
But wonderful dog right now. I guarantee you it is on the couch looking out the window waiting for her return at this very moment.
That's like our rescue, Rizzo, yeah. who is a Boston. Mm. She likes me, but when the mommy is home, I'm not existing.
Right.
She likes mommy the best.
And my last dog was like that too. So now I'm experiencing the other side of it. So.
Yeah.
And then we have Izzy, who's the one-eyed rescue that my wife brought home from the Boston Terrier Rescue Group, 19 days old, couldn't see, couldn't hear. We thought she was blind and deaf. It was one of, you know, a breeder took it to the vet and went, this one's defective. And so we brought her, she brought her home, took her to work and kept her in her bra. So when she was reporting in the morning with her big heavy jacket on, she had a puppy in her bra. And you couldn't tell. So she, I mean, she had to because we had to feed her. Mm-hmm. So we had to teach this dog how to shit. So you would have to stand over the toilet holding the puppy and then stimulate the butt and then the poop would come out. Like that's what the moms do. That's what the mom dogs do, right?
Wow.
So this dog has been with us since she had consciousness.
Right.
And she thinks we're her parents.
Yeah.
But she's an awesome dog. And anybody that rescues dogs, that takes care of these dogs, you know, Steph has known me for a long time. 10 years ago, what do you think I would have said if you'd asked me if I'd own a dog?
No way.
Yeah, I my mom had dogs.
You were cat people.
And
you
they shit and pissed all over
people.
The house.
You guys seen this Florida brewery that's putting the dogs up for adoption on their cans?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
you could
really
do that too.
Yeah,
I'm not telling you how to do. But no, my mom's dog shit and pissed all over the house. Jeff knows. He'd come over the house.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm done with dogs.
It can leave a nasty taste in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. But not the beer, though. The beer is delicious.
They're
There's
right.
no nasty taste. I don't need any more, but I want one more little thing. Do you have any more?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can honestly say, if you ever want to put a Barkville dog on a can, we will absolutely. We got 100 of them.
You need one-eyed Izzy Stout. One-eyed Izzy Boston Ale, because
hey,
she's a Boston.
Get in line. I'm still trying to get a moon pie beer.
And do you like moon pies? You're from Tennessee. You absolutely are.
Pie,
you from Tennessee?
Moon Pie Stout?
School,
all right. Where are you from, Georgia?
Yeah, I'm from, we actually grew up on opposite sides of Canton, so I'm from here as well.
Boy, that's a huge difference in one side of Canton to the other. Did you guys know each other in school? No. You met each other after, huh?
Yep.
Now, where's your family from?
One side New Jersey, one side Marietta.
Okay, because yep. Gridley was a name in our town.
Really?
There's a guy
yeah, our math teacher was
in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And there are none down here.
Tom Gridley, you related to him?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. It just so happens that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, our buddy Stu, his, anyway, I'm rambling.
No, I want some more of the stout. I really like that.
Is there any that we haven't tried yet? No. All right.
I just bought those four, but I have plenty of them.
Which one of the four did you like the best, Tim?
The first one. I liked all of them.
I liked one and four the best, but they were all delicious.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
I liked the stout the best. That was my favorite. And it was so shocking to me because I would never pick a stout in a million years. As soon as I see that, I'm like, get it
away
from me.
It's not one of those real thick stouts,
no.
though. Like,
right.
No, and it's great. And I like Guinness, but that was tastier than Guinness. Can I, you guys want to stick around while we do the rest of the show?
Absolutely.
And jump in, and anything you want to say?
And anything you want to pop in there?
Pop in, yeah.
Just plug the website
one more time and tell everybody where the join is.
SixBridgesBrewing.com. We're in Johns Creek off of Lakefield Drive, close to the new City Hall in Technology Park. So come check us out.
Lots of great parking. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to find a spot. So, anyway.
Go check them out, everybody.
Bring your dogs.
And on your website, it'll show like what food truck you have there and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got a favorite food truck you've had up there?
Oh, there's a lot. I'll be honest. I just love food. So I haven't found one I don't like.
The night I was there, you guys had a pizzeria there that was doing like stone.
Have you had Little Bites? Rustic.
Yeah, Little Bites. That guy was
on our podcast.
Okay. Yeah, they do great food. I love all of them.
They were looking for recommendations to go eat after here. I was wondering if you had any place.
Let's see. There's a McDonald's.
Vortex, you know Vortex?
Have you ever been to Vortex?
Yeah,
that's probably something you've done before. There's a lot of places.
I said Miller Union.
Yeah.
I love Miller Union.
Yeah.
Me being a beer guy, I was going to go to Torch Hop if I could talk my wife into it.
What's Torch Hop?
Oh, really? That's a brew pub on Ponce.
Yep.
Fat Man's.
Mm. Yeah, ribs.
Like ribs?
Yeah.
Blues.
French fries.
Wait, aren't the Vipers playing tonight?
Yeah.
There you go. Ira, he's a dude on our show. His blues band's playing at the Fat Mats. That's a great place.
Ira Glass.
Yeah, Ira Glass. He would love that. You don't know how much Ira loves NPR.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, it's Ira. I love that.
Do a terrible Ira impression.
You do a bad Ira.
Hey, put that thing in the thing.
And he's going to put the thing in the thing. And the thing in the thing.
I love that Ira's been coming back, though.
Me too. Not paying that fuck. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I've had a couple beers. Wait till I have a little more. I just had a little
more. He's worth every penny.
Tim,
I would like to.
Tim hasn't started cranking the tune so loud that you can't hear the people talk anymore.
Yeah, sure. The lager, is that what that was?
It's a golden ale. Yeah.
Before we leave Clay, though, I want to talk about the fact that he did do 9 years of.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Who did you work for during that time?
It was in the metro area. I worked for Cherokee County.
Wow.
So I bet you saw a lot of crazy stuff.
You usually don't get called on when people are having a good time.
Yeah. Can you think of maybe out of like one really hairy situation where you just like, it's the one that really sticks in your head?
I mean, do you guys really want to hear it?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
Not one where you lost the guy.
No, not when you lost him.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about.
We
talk about bad, yeah.
No, I meant like, you know, where they're naked and they're riding a horse.
Yeah, like where you rescue a kid out of the swimming pool. And,
yeah.
Know anybody dating a guy named Johnny Cake?
I mean, you do see naked people, I mean, but it's not not the naked people you want to see.
Sweetheart, what naked people do you want to see?
My beautiful wife sitting right next to me. Now, I didn't go on this call, but speaking of naked people, this one guy was tied up doing the BDSM whatever, bondage. No, bondage, that's what it is.
Same thing, right?
Yeah, sure. And he started having a stroke.
Oh, no.
And the lady,
while he was stroking.
An actual stroke or a stroke?
She was stroking him and he stroked.
Exactly.
That's my worry when I go to a dominatrix. I don't want to stroke out.
And so she was a hired lady and he starts having a medical emergency and he's tied up and the leather and all that stuff.
Hired. She was a dog walker?
Yeah. Could be.
He's classy, Tim. Stop it.
Yeah.
He's a sex worker. In the parlance of our time.
So 911 shows up and he is bound.
Sorry, Amy, no one. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, they didn't untie him before the ambulance
she
got there?
She did not untie him.
Oh, man.
Wow.
She paid for this.
She just
he paid for it. I mean,
left you guys.
No, she was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was
but
there.
His safe word was.
I'm good for now. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I am after this last one, too.
All right, guys, we're going to come back and do some news. Thank you very much, both of you, for being here. Please stick around.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Listen to the rest of the show.
Thanks.
Well, we're going to do some news here. It's 5 minutes past the hour. It's the Don Imus Show, and I got to tell you, up here in heaven, I got no program director. God is my program director. That was a bumper sticker I used to have, and that's the way it is now. And you know what he said to me the other day? He didn't want me to talk about people who were still alive. But I can do whatever I want because this is the Don Imus Show up here in heaven coming at you at WHVN, Heaven 102. Heaven 102. And hopefully we're looking to get syndicated. There are no
102? That's the best spot he could get in heaven radio?
There are no nappy-headed hoes in heaven. That's the name of my autobiography. There are no nappy headed hoes in heaven, and I apologize to all the nappy-headed hoes out there. So rest in peace to some people who passed away. Jim Lehrer, who was a news guy, he did that news show on PBS with McNeil, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I never watched it. It was a little too highfalutin for me. I lived in the 80s. I just watched Tom Brokaw on NBC like a normal human being. It was ridiculous. Also, who passed away, who died, was Jack Keogh, 85 years old. We were they just talked about him on Radio Labyrinth recently. He was on Midnight Run. He worked for... he worked for the bail bonds, didn't he? He was always looking for donuts and stuff.
The donut dude.
He was also on Serpico, and you could see him in the Untouchables. He played Al Capone's accountant, which is, you know, I love that movie. You
so
know?
Random.
Robert De Niro got all fat for that movie, and you know, he beat up a guy with a baseball bat. And who wouldn't want to do that? Rest in peace to Mr. Peanut and the stupidest marketing campaign I think I've ever seen in my life.
Guy's 104 years old. Cut him some slack.
Well, he's 104. Well, if he's 104 years old, he shouldn't be jumping out of helicopter. Or playing around on cliffs, and that's what happened. He jumped off a cliff, and he died, and he exploded. But stick around, because I think in the Super Bowl, they're going to clone him.
they're going to boil him.
He's going to come back to life like Data. Or B4 in that Star Trek show. We'll talk about that later. And last but not least is Mr. Terry Jones, who was one of the Monty Python fellows and a film director. You recognize him from stuff like Constitutional Peasant, Nudge Nudge, The Meaning of Life, where he's the fish guy, or fishy, 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 fish. And it went wherever I did
Mr.
go.
Mr. Creosote.
Yeah, Mr. Creosote, yeah, Spam. And, of course, he played Brian's mother in The Life of Brian.
There's a good cartoon out there. I think it was in maybe the New Yorker where he goes to heaven and God's sitting there and Terry Jones goes, Brian? And God goes, Mother?
That's funny. Yeah, he was in Life of Brian, but he's no Mr. Peanut. So rest in peace. I like salty nuts. I like Virginia peanuts the best. Do you think Mr. Peanut's going to come back? All right, that's it. That's it.
Speaking of salty nuts, though, you see that people are dipping their balls into soy sauce?
I saw that.
What the fuck? Why? Why?
Why? Steph, why are you dipping your balls in soy sauce?
I don't. You know, it is. It's got like a
it's
particular.
These kids on TikTok.
TikTok.
That's all you got to do.
I downloaded TikTok. I don't get it. Are you guys on TikTok?
It's the Russian bots, man. Russian
Chinese.
Troll. Yeah.
I like TikTok, but to me, it's for kids. Mm. They make funny, cute little 6-7 second clips or whatever.
It's like the new Vine, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Not as fun as Vine.
What's Vine?
Vine was another one of those deals where you can make 6 or 7 second videos.
I like you because you don't know this stuff.
I do too. I want to live
so
in this.
So much better to not
yeah,
know this.
Right?
This is what happens when you don't have a TV set and all you do is educate yourself and read.
Well, we also don't have Insta-face tweets, so there's that.
You got beer.
We do have a television and we watch Jeopardy religiously. Oh, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're constantly learning. Like everything with you guys is learning stuff.
If you're like my grandparents in the 80s, well, Lawrence Welk's coming on and then we're going to watch Hee Haw. Yeah. And then you're going to bed.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm envious of that. Not really, because I watch television all the time, but it would be nice to not be distracted by phones and TV and just read.
The phone I've really laid down, that was one of my New Year's things, is I have really stopped screwing with the phone as much. When I get home from work, I shut it off, I throw in a thing. Maybe somebody's going to die. I won't know until tomorrow. I really won't. And that's fine with I'm fine with that because I'm done with it. Because like at the end of the day, when I'm done working or whatever, I just want to zone out and I'll deal with your death tomorrow.
Okay. Did we ever find out why guys are dipping their balls in soy sauce?
some there's
low
some,
sodium or the regular.
There's some, there was some study saying that rats had taste buds in their testicles.
Yeah.
In like 1980 or something. So somebody saw this study and said, "Oh, wonder if humans have taste buds in their testicles. I'm going to dip my balls in soy sauce and see what happens."
But why would you go for soy sauce and not something better like Polynesian or
sriracha? Sriracha.
Yeah. Mustard.
Yeah.
Is there a side of wasabi and pickle ginger?
Careful you don't have a cut.
That's a new beer for you.
Dr. Oz absolutely said there's no possible way anybody could taste anything with their testicles, though, but people are still doing it.
I can. A taste of cotton in my underpants.
That's what I always do. I always...
You taste the cotton in your underpants?
No, in my underpants.
Gross.
I mail them.
I was just going to say, like, I'll rub it on my genitalia first.
All right.
And then if that likes it, then I'll drink it.
Okay. Hey, say your website again.
SixRichStone.com.
She doesn't want to be associated with this place
that
now.
That beer is so good.
It is really good.
Can I have the rest of it?
Which one?
The or is it all
the
gone?
First one?
Just yep. Give you the can.
Yeah.
I like your cups, too. They're thanks. Beautiful.
Yeah, the cups are great. Yeah, your logo, your logo is amazing. Well, this is what Jeff does. He makes logos, so I would imagine you'd like this logo. Yeah, it's nice and clean. Logo.
Nice. The gentleman down here lives close to the Capitol did that for us, Matt Belfi, Belfi Designs. Another little plug right there.
Yeah, Belfi. Yeah. Everybody check him out if you need a design.
Yeah, it's a very cool one.
Let's see. So we did the news. You guys just want to talk about what we watched?
We could do that. Let's didn't even ask me about Vegas at all.
Yeah, well, Steph, tell us a little bit.
Okay,
hang on.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza and Mural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza and Mural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, gyros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting. Since 1983. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners, check out the menu, and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. Hey guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care, LLC.
Jeff. Steph needs to tell us how Vegas was.
Vegas was Vegas, man. It was.
What does that mean?
It was stunning. For the
you
first,
got a hooker.
The first, yeah, I did. I got like several hookers. Okay. The first night I was there, I was pretty blown away by the spectacle of it all. It was very glitzy and whatnot. And by day three, I was done with it. I was okay leaving for sure.
Uh huh.
It was a lot of homeless people, which I thought was very sad.
Did you hear any of this?
What was that?
It's the Mexican guys with the hooker ads.
Oh, they were giving me hooker ads everywhere I went.
When you walk down the strip, you walk by those guys. You guys ever been to Vegas?
No.
And these guys, they hit the thing, so you look at them, they go, "Yo, hooker."
No, they just shove them in your face.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't know, but it was cool. It was fun spending time with my sisters, that was for sure. That was a great time, but the best...
I saw your sister passed out in the party van.
No, it was on the monorail.
Which sister was
it? It was on the monorail.
Monorail. The monorail is...
The boob sister.
Okay.
Yeah, she was passed out on the monorail.
The boob sister.
Well,
that's a long story. Steph has a sister that's very booby.
She wore it like this very low cut shirt to a Kid Rock concert.
One of the nipple grazers.
It was really intense. Like, it went to the belly button. It really did. Yeah. No, she was. We had a great time together. It was the first time that we've taken a trip together since we were kids. And when we were kids, they're 10, 11 years younger than me. And every trip we ever took when we were children was horrifying because my mom and my stepdad. they fought the entire time. Mm-hmm. So it was always never fun. So this was actually a fun trip. We like had a real good bonding time. But the best part of all of it was when we drove out to Red Rock. That was beautiful.
I'm glad you did that instead of going to the stupid Grand Canyon.
It was only a 30-minute drive, and I had already been on a plane twice, and I had to get on a plane two more times that week, let me tell you something, four flights, only one of them was good, and that was the flight to Vegas, which was the longest flight. And I knew it was going to be good because once we got on, the pilot was like, we're headed out to Lost Wages. Now we're going to head out to Lost Wages. We're going to have a good time. Everybody's going to take it a little longer route so that there's not going to be any turbulence. And he was the only pilot that we had that gave a crap about not flying through turbulence.
Oh, God. So you had a lot of it.
Oh, it was ridiculous. My flight up to Detroit was horrible. My flight home from Detroit, I wanted to blow my brains out. As soon as I got in the seat, he was like, oh, yeah, we're just going to tell you, just leave your seatbelt on the whole time. It's going to be turbulent the whole way. I'll see you then. And that was it. That was the end of it. So anyway, I was done with planes by the end of the thing. But Red Rock was gorgeous.
What
Vegas
casinos
was
did you go to?
All of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you go to a weed store?
I did. I got a blunt. And I rolled down the street smoking my blunt until I realized that I felt terrible because there were kids everywhere.
So?
I don't know, man. It just made me feel weird.
Kids don't belong there anyway. It's a den of vice and sin.
I don't know, but I felt weird doing it because there were kids all over the place. So that was kind of weird. And then we went to Hell's Kitchen, which was my sister's big thing. She couldn't wait to go to Hell's Kitchen.
Did you have the risotto?
No, I had the mushroom pizza.
Okay.
So my sister, she wanted that beef Wellington, right. Gordon Ramsay's signature beef Wellington. So she gets it. They bring it out. The first one is cold. So she says, oh my God, it's cold.
And wait, I'm sorry. You had cold food in Hell's Kitchen?
At Hell's Kitchen, yes. Oh, but wait.
wasn't there expediting,
oh,
obviously.
Oh, but wait.
I get it. Yeah.
So the waitress goes by and she says, oh, do you not like it? And my sister said, well, it's cold. And she said, oh, well, I'll get you another one. So they bring out another entree. So my sister starts eating it. She goes, oh, well, this one's better. She goes to eat the mashed potatoes. There is a chest hair swirled into the mat.
How do you know it's chest hair?
Chester hand. It was a Chester hand.
It looked like something else, too.
Could have been a pube.
I don't want to make Amy Noel throw up.
Did it taste like soy sauce?
Yeah, she did not get to that point.
Hey, you got a comedy, budding comedy genius.
Did not get to that point.
Good timing.
So we're laughing when the waitress comes by again, because my sister has had nothing but horrible food karma the entire time we were in Vegas.
Hey, if you can't stand the heat, get out of Hell's Kitchen.
She got a burger at a burger stand in Old Vegas.
Yeah.
And they put bacon all over it. She's like, I didn't order this. She goes up for it. She goes, it's got bacon on it. He goes, take it off. Like, she was an asshole for even bothering him with it.
Hey, dumbass, take the fucking bacon off of it.
So anyway, she comes over and we're laughing. We're like, oh, well, there's a chest hair in her mashed potatoes. She goes, oh my God. And she takes it all, whisks it away. Then the front of the house comes back with this dude up, gelled up hairstyle. And he's like,
that's Gordon Ramsay hair.
He was like, we are so sorry. Your meal is on us and free dessert for everyone at the table. And we were like, oh, that's great. And so then she brought out her other entree and it was good, but at that point, she didn't care anymore, you know. But I will say that his sticky toffee bread pudding is everything that I ever thought it would be.
That sounds delicious.
It was one of the best desserts I've ever eaten in my life. I don't know how many chest hairs I ingested. I didn't know. I don't even care. I don't even care. It was that good. It melted in your mouth. It was so good. So I would highly suggest that.
You need some more?
Oh, sure, yeah. But I'll tell, other than that, my sister said the best meal that they had the entire time was at In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, yeah. In-N-Out.
In Red Rocks.
Place is delicious.
Yeah. They raved about it. So that was it. That was Vegas, I would
say. How much did you win?
I won 70, lost 70.
All right, so you broke even. Yeah.
I couldn't really, you know, I've pussed out, man.
Should have gone to Atlantic City. That's where the best.
Yes, it does.
It smoked. I haven't smoked in like 7 years, right? And I used to be such a hardcore smoker.
Cigarettes?
Yes.
Yeah, you had
and
one.
And I'm such a puss. No.
There's some non-smoking casinos.
Where, Jeff? Every single one I went into, they smoked.
Non-smoking.
They smoked in every one I went into. And really? I went into
non-smoking
all of them.
Casino.
The only place I didn't go to was the Palms. That was it.
A non-smoking casino is like a vagina with knives in it.
I don't care. I whenever I was gambling, I was gambled. We stayed at the Paris Hotel.
You want to go in, but you can't.
You're stupid.
What? Should
Stop
I have more
it.
Beer?
No.
Okay.
No. So I sat by the door every time that we gambled so I could breathe. Or I would go downstairs. I'm an early riser. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would go downstairs, and I would play the slots at like 4:30 in the morning. There was nobody down there. My coffee, I was in heaven. Mm. Yeah. So I'm like the least Vegas
That is the most old person thing.
It's the worst town for me. It was the worst town for me.
I can't go down and play the penny slots with my coffee.
But I will go back for, like, I would go back and I would just spend days and days at Red Rock just going through all the trails.
That's so beautiful.
It's
there.
Unbelievably beautiful. I did not put nearly enough sunscreen on or wear a hat. I blistered my face. It's just now starting to heal. But other than that, it was really great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're back, Stephanie. Yes. We're glad you had fun.
Yeah, it was really good.
Sick
it's
of
good
that fucking Ira being around.
You leave Ira alone.
I know. I love Ira.
But hey. you didn't go to the pawn shop. You didn't go to Grand Canyon.
No, I didn't go to Grand Canyon. We just went to Red Rock instead. After being on the plane the two times and having two more to go, I was done with it. And it's a whole day to go to Grand Canyon. And it was a nice, I still got the experience. If I just renting a car and driving to Red Rock, I still got the, and I told my sisters, which, you know, they're way younger than me, when we were getting to the desert, to the Mojave, I said to my sisters, because my song came on, Ventura Highway by America.
Which Tim and I are going to see tomorrow.
And this has always been a fantasy of mine to drive in the desert and hear this song. So as soon as it came on, I told my sisters, shut up. Just shut up. And I cranked it up. I said, let me have this. And I had my full experience and it was great.
Nice.
Yeah. I would highly suggest that to anyone before you die, to listen to Ventura Highway as you're driving in the Mojave Desert. Because it felt like I was living in a painting. Like in a complete surreal moment.
I like Carefree Highway by Gordon Lightfoot better. Carefree Highway.
Oh, is that what he says?
Yeah,
I thought it was every highway.
Yep.
Carefree Highway. We'll slip away.
It was the same thing with slip Amy. Away, yeah. I always thought that said, hey, me, what you
Hi,
gonna
me?
Do?
Well, it sounds like a song about a Jewish guy. Hi, me, what you're going to do?
We used to say, lay me.
Lame
is what you're gonna do.
I'm falling in and out of love with you. Oh, thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Six Bridges Brewery. Tim is imbibed.
Hey, guys, got a couple brand new Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. You could become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon producer if you just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And guess what happens at the end of every show? We record a little bonus show. I don't know that we're going to be able to do that today.
Yeah, I had a feeling. This has went really very long today.
But I have a bonus show to put up. I'm going to put the baseball card show up. So
okay.
But let me tell you guys this real quick because it's important that we do this. We have listeners on the Radio Labyrinth Patreon page who have submitted their ideas for us to talk about.
Yes,
because that's the original.
That was the whole point.
That was the whole point of this.
Yes.
So, first of all, I want to say Eric Malmstrom, who's one of our producers.
I love Eric.
He would love to hear us do a show on 30 Rock, the last great American TV network sitcom. And I agree with him on that.
Yeah, 30 Rock was amazing.
From ahead of the curve on Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein references to the impressive cast of guest appearances, Tim Conway, Carrie Fisher, and Help Me, Liz Lemon, You're My Only Hope line. and of course, Buck Henry. So every guest star on that show is dead. If I weren't in PA, that'd be the one where I'd love to contribute. And so we will definitely consider that and probably do it. Robert Neely, another guy. By the way,
Roby
is awesome, dude, and he's a singer. And I'm going to tweet out this link later. Well, I've already tweeted it out. He would like for us to do
Red Dwarf.
No. Now he wants us to talk about watching sitcoms and stuff from the 60s and 70s on those stations like Channel 11 from New York or the one that he has in San Angelo, Texas. Then we have Jesse Rosinski who says, how about doing an episode about Tim's favorite show, The Sopranos?
Oh, okay.
That should be awesome.
Sure.
And Robert Kearns, how about a show dedicated to Martin Short?
Oh, Big Rob.
Yes. So you guys are awesome. These are great. We've been waiting for Steph to get back before we really tiptoed in any of these.
So we'll do it next week.
Yeah. So next week we'll pick one of these and do it. And, you know, in the meantime, if you're at the $10 level or more, just tell us. Everybody be quiet. Go to radiolabyrinthpodcast.com and you'll find all the links. By the way, before we go to our staff picks and stuff, Daniel Pitts wanted to tell us about Off to Be the Wizard by Scott Meyer and Hunting for the Wilder People movie, which is pretty funny with your heartstrings pulled. That's a good movie.
Oh, really?
Isn't that a Taiki?
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. So Daniel Pitts, also a very awesome guy and a good contributor to our show. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Six Bridges Brewery.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
And you said we had new Patreons?
Yes,
new,
we do.
Okay.
Did I mention them yet?
You didn't say their names, no.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Todd Ellis is one of our brand new Patreon producers. He's actually a producer, so thank you, Todd Ellis, for coming on board. And Brett Perkins is a new producer.
Yes, I've known Brett for over 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brett, for coming on board.
Thanks,
he's a good
Brett.
Guy. He's supporting you.
You're a good guy?
He is a good guy.
He's a good, yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So the regular guys are the good guys. All right, so we're going to
Let's just skip the stuff we watch and do our staff picks. What do you say?
All right, well, I want to talk about Picard next week. First of all, I just got to say this about Picard. If you're one of those people that gets online like I do and watches these guys who hate everything new and bitches about it because it's not canon or whatever, and I'm very guilty of that. I bought into some propaganda about this show and I was leery. I watched it and that's ridiculous. This show is completely canon. If you're into Star Trek, it is a wonderful homage to the Next Generation. That's all I'm going to say. It was really, really well done. There are some faults. Some of the acting isn't very good, but it's not terrible. But he's great, and the story is great.
And he's got a pit bull as his number one.
Right, and let me tell you this. For the people who are going, oh, it's in the Kelvin timeline. It's not in the Kelvin timeline. It is in the traditional timeline of Star Trek. It's just that the events that happened that caused the Kelvin timeline actually happened. So... enough. I mean, I hate Star Wars. I hate all the new Star Wars shit. I don't like the new Doctor Who. But I kind of fell victim to believing some of the bullshit that came out about this show. And I watched it, and I'm like, this is really good.
I want to see it.
It was really...
What do you think about Whoopi coming back?
I know, I love Whoopi.
She'll
I love
be back
Guinan.
In season two.
I right. love Guinan. I love that.
Did you see the clip of her on The View whenever he asked her? And she was like, she got very
verklempt. She got verklempt, yeah.
I don't watch The View.
Well, they showed a clip on
that. Yeah, I don't watch The View.
I see it every morning when I'm working. But all right, so my staff pick this week is Goldman versus Silverman, or Goldman versus Silverman. Rod Goldman and Al Silverman are street performers who work the tourist scene of Times Square. Goldman gets no respect, and Silverman is the first one to make sure of that. This is by the Safdie brothers, the guys who did Uncut Gems. And it's Adam Sandler and Benny Safdie play the two different guys. And it's 15 minutes tops. I mean, you can live through it, but basically they shot it guerrilla style in Times Square. Nobody knew it was Adam Sandler.
I like when guerrillas shoot movies.
And and so Sandler is dressed up as a guy that's all gold, and he's a robot, and the other guy comes and fucks with him. It's really, really entertaining and very well done. And also, I have to give a shout out to What Did Jack Do? If you are interested in watching things done by...
David Lynch.
It was amazing.
Hmm.
It's 17 minutes long, and it's the most bizarre
thing.
And
that's on Netflix, right?
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, my God. Yes, it's on Netflix. It's him playing a cop interviewing a monkey that he's also doing the voice of. And it's all cliches, and it's ridiculous. And the monkey had sex with a chicken. So knock yourselves out, Steph.
I know we're not supposed to talk about what we watch, but I will say this. Curb. Was so
oh yeah, Curb was
funny.
Fucking great.
Oh
with the MAGA hat.
I watched it like three times. The new Curb is so funny with that MAGA hat. Oh my God, that and just the Jeff Garlin. People
That's
think that he's
Weinstein.
They think he's Weinstein.
Yeah, I love that.
I mean, Larry tackled every topic. Me Too. The pregnant lady who's doing way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, her on that treadmill.
Aren't you worried about the fetus?
No, whenever she said that, my husband's African American, and he said, "You like saying that, don't you?
Like
you?
Saying
you
that.
Like telling me that?
You like saying that, don't you?"
But and then just JB Smoove, he was.
Oh, he's great.
Every single.
I'm so glad you kept him.
He's coming home after tapping hours.
Yeah, he's coming in over tapping hours.
So if you haven't watched the new episode of Curb, you got to watch it. It's a classic. It really is. It goes right up there. But my staff pick this week it's coming on this Wednesday at 9 p.m. on Fox, and it's called Lego Masters. And it's hosted by Will Arnett.
Lego Batman?
Well, yeah, of course. And you know, Will Arnett is hilarious anyway. But it's basically, it's a Lego competition where people are building, they give them assignments and they got to build stuff and they got to do it in a certain amount of time, which that's a thing about me. I love watching people build shit with Legos.
I think it'll be pretty cool.
I think it'll be cool. And I think it's pretty neat to, you know, whatever they come out with. So anyway, it's called Lego Masters. It's Wednesday, 9 p.m. at Fox. And also, if you haven't watched America's Top Dog on A&E, it's the most riveting show on television. I'm sorry it is. Please watch America's Top Dog. I freaking love this show. This past week, a civilian dog beat all of the canines, which was incredible. This little tiny, it's called a shorty bull. This little tiny dog, he was so amazing. But anyway, so watch America's Top Dog.
Awesome.
My staff pick is Miracle Worker Season 2 starts on TBS on, I think, the 28th. If anybody watched Season 1 of Miracle Workers, it was that show with Steve Buscemi and Daniel Radcliffe
and Harry Potter. And this new season looks awesome.
And this new season, they're playing totally different characters.
Right.
And it's like set in medieval times.
It looks great.
And I watched the preview that they showed the other night after the SAG Awards, and it looks like the season's going to be pretty funny.
Awesome. Next, thank you, Jeff. Next, do you have a staff pick?
Jeopardy.
Plug your website again in your beer. And Jeopardy. Go ahead, plug.
You think they can ever top this Tournament of Champions that they just did? They'll probably never do another one, right?
You know, Brad will never be coming back.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, little trivia fact about us. We actually invited Alex Trebek to our wedding.
Oh, wow.
He didn't come.
No.
He didn't even RSVP.
I know.
But we did invite him. So we were debating if he came, which one of us would you know, be the most excited.
You guys are big Jeopardy fans, I tell you.
Yeah, I was going to put one of the cardboard cutouts like on the wall where people could have their picture taken. I was going to do this at the brewery. Can't do it now, you know, because he's got cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody. Yeah.
Go home and go to YouTube and type in Longmont Potion Castle Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. And then listen to this guy make a prank call to Alex Trebek, and how Alex deals with it is amazing.
And our former podcast guest, Dan Carroll, was on Jeopardy.
Yes, he was.
And his ex-wife now, but she was also on Jeopardy.
She did better.
And we just had one of the 5-day champions at the brewery.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
He's a local up there.
Who?
And he was in the last Tournament of Champions. I'm trying to remember his name. Very tall gentleman, ball head.
Not the goofy guy that can't start smiling, right?
No. No, this guy was really nice. He's a Johns Creek local, and he killed it for 5 shows.
Oh, wow.
In fact, the person that beat him, I'm trying to remember, it was one of the, it might have been James Holzhauer.
Or whatever. Wow.
That's who I'm talking about.
Ian Kearney.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much for
coming.
Thank
you so much.
You guys are really cool. The beer was great, and thank you for enduring this long Saturday afternoon.
Please go to Six Bridges Brewing in Johns Creek if you want to have a good time. It's a great place.
Coming up on the show next week, we have Nathan Rabin, an author and a guy who writes for the Onion's AV Room, right?
AV Club, yeah.
AV Club, yeah. He wrote a book called, he wrote a Weird Al book prior to this, but his current book is Weird Accordion Al, The World According to Al Yankovic, Weird Al Yankovic. And I bought it, and it's fun as shit. It's a breakdown of every single
week. Breaks down every album and every song.
And every album. And so he'll be in, and coming up later in the month, we'll have Dean and Lisa from Mike TV, who will come on to talk about their upcoming new season where they tackle Better Call Saul and a bunch of new different shows. And again, thanks to Max Gale for being on the show. We had to split the interview up into two parts. So next week we will attach that to the Nathan Rabin show. And again, what a great guest. What a great afternoon. Thank
you
guys
again very
much.
I've reached out to Dee Dee Cohn and Adrian Zmed, both who are coming to town to do a play.
Sweet.
In Marietta, so I'm hoping we can do maybe a phone run with either one of them or both of them.
And keep on Max about getting Barney.
Yep.
All right. Until next week, please remember to
keep it canon.
I'll get some donuts.